me up, oh Lord, raise it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
Just to break every chain. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Hey, just to break every chain.
Well, today we're going to continue in our series we started last week on Breaking Bad, that we are learning that there's some things in our life that the Savior is wanting to break in our life. And so as last week, we kicked off a series with a message entitled Jesus, the Cycle Breaker. Today, I want to continue that sermon that I started last week. We ran out of time, and so I'm carrying it over to today, and I want to give you the second half of this sermon on Jesus, the cycle breaker. Now, we talk about breaking bad cycles in our life. How many know that what a cycle is, and especially a bad cycle, is the place where you go around the mountain, but you end up in the same place? Ever been there? It's either one hand or how hard you try to get away and to get better and to get things changed in your life. It seems like you always end up at the same place. And year after year, you kind of go up, but you kind of end up at the same place. That's a cycle. And when they continue to happen in our life, we need to identify it, number one, and then we need to learn what it takes to break those bad cycles in our life. Because in case you didn't know it, Jesus came to break bad cycles. Last week, we went through and we started the sermon off by looking at several examples that when Jesus showed up, bad cycles were broken. Whether it be the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, or the man who was needing help for 18 years, or 38 years, or a lifetime, it doesn't make a difference. When Jesus showed up, cycles, bad cycles, begin to get broken, and new cycles started. And today, Jesus has come not so that you and I have to live a life full of bad cycles, but he's came for us to go from where? From glory to glory, right? He's came to grow us, to come to grow us from glory to glory, from level to level. There may be seasons of planting, seasons of watering, seasons of pruning, as Scripture talks about. But there should always be a season of going to the next level, of growing in our relationship with the Father, that we begin to lay down and leave some bad habits, lay down some hurts, lay down some things that have become bad cycles in our life, and go to a different level. And so today, we started this series called Jesus the Cycle Breaker, and I want to come back and pick it back up. You know, one of the biggest things I believe that causes us to have bad cycles in our life is really things that really stress us out. Have you ever noticed that? You try to break bad cycles, but when you get under pressure, when you live your life stressed out, that it contributes to you living a life of bad cycles. It seems like it pushes you in. It pushes you into that depression, or it pushes you into that addiction, or it pushes you into those times, those seasons where you revert back to the person you used to be. And so today, I believe we got to identify really what the source of some of these are. And let's just jump into it. Here, let's look at our first text. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, he will keep you what? Keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. How many want to keep in perfect peace? How many want your mind to stay in perfect peace? How many want to live in bad cycles? Nobody does. But we all want to live in perfect peace, right? We want our mind to live in perfect peace according to Scripture. So how do we do that? Well, he answers it in the next phrase. Those he will keep in perfect peace whose minds are stayed, the word stayed or fixed, set on you because he trusts in you. John 15:11 says it this way. These things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus talking to you and I. These things have I spoken to you that my joy, Jesus' joy, may what? Remain in you and that our joy may be full. Now, this is the way that as a Christian that God has destined our life to be, that our minds stay fixed on his things, the things of Christ, that we can receive the peace that comes from the Father, and that our lives we can live in a place of joy. Now, how many know that the joy of the Lord is our strength according to the word of the Lord? And so one of the reasons why we're not breaking through these bad cycles in our life is that we're living our life full of stress, full of turmoil, full of fear, full of doubt. And then it brings us back into the circle, the cycle. We do okay for a while, then back into that addiction. We get okay for a while, then we're back into that mindset. We go okay for a while, then we're back into depression. We go okay for a while, then we're back into where we are. It's always up and down at the same place. In order for us to get to the place where we're breaking those bad cycles in our life, we're going to have to learn to let the joy of the Lord rule our heart. The peace of God rule our mind. This is the way God has destined for us to live as Christians. This is the way I break through bad cycles in my life, where the joy of the Lord is full in my life. He has not come that you have to live in a state of depression for all your life. He has not died on the cross so that you and I can walk around in fear all of our life. No, he died on the cross that the joy of the Lord could remain in our hearts and that his peace would rule to set us free from bad cycles. He's come to set us free. We talked about quite a bit last week, the woman with the issue of blood. And it said that her testimony was this, that she said, if I can just touch Jesus, I could be healed. She said, I've touched several doctors and I spent all my money researching and nobody can heal me. Nobody can touch me. I've been outcast in the city. She's not allowed to identify with other people because of her uncleanness, they said. And because of her addiction, because of her affliction, she was not allowed to be there. But she said, if I can just press to Jesus, if I can just touch Jesus, then he will heal me. See, her part was to press to Jesus. And she said, if I do my part, then Jesus can do the thing I can't do, which is heal myself. We got to realize what's my part and what's Jesus' part. My part is doing what I can do and allowing and trusting God to do what only he can do. We see this story unwrapping, the story when Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Remember that story? Jesus shows up. Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. Mary and Martha are crying. Jesus, if only you'd been here on time, our brother wouldn't be dead. And Jesus weeps and cries with him. And then finally he says, okay, girls, listen. Have somebody remove the stone. Roll away the stone from the grave. How many know that took some faith? It did. It took some faith on them to roll away. She's like, Jesus, he's been dead for 3 days now, and he stinks. In case you need the translation for King James, it's, he stinketh. He have a foul odoreth coming out of the graveth. It's bad. It stinks. He's been dead now for over 3 days. He stinks, Jesus. And they're like, okay. He says, but roll away the stone. You see, could Jesus roll away the stone? Yes, he could have, right? He created the stone. He could have spoke to the stone and commanded it to move, but he didn't do that. He asked them to stretch their faith and to do what they can naturally do in the natural. And what they could do in the spiritual is put their faith saying, all right, if we roll away this stone, then we know Jesus can do the rest. And of course, they roll away the stone, and the story says, I love this part of the story, it says that Jesus speaks to Lazarus and says, Lazarus! Come forth, come out of that grave. Now, you may not think that's a very odd part of the story. You see Lazarus coming with a beam of light, oh, stepping out. Dun, 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 dun. But think about it. He that wasn't what happened, because we see later, it says he's still wrapped in his grave clothes. And if you know anything about the wrapping process of this time, when they mummified by the wrapping, it was a very tight wrap. He was bound from his head to his toes, his hands, his arms, his legs. Now, Scripture doesn't say this, but I believe, because as we know how he was buried and how he was wrapped, that there was no way that guy could have walked out of there. I believe that when Jesus spoke to him, that he actually rose up and came out floating through the air. Now, that's my opinion. That's not Scripture, but you may want to believe he hopped out of there like this. I don't care. Either way, he's bound. And after he gets out, what does Jesus tell them? He said, now you loose him, unwrap his bindings, and let this man go. You see, they had to roll away the stone. They had to reach out and loose him. And Jesus did what he could do by resurrecting and bringing new life. Some of you got some stones in your life that need to be rolled away. Some of you got some things that you need to kick out of your life. Some of you got some obstacles in your way that you need to roll out of your way so that Jesus can speak to the very issue in your life and allow him to heal the very thing he's wanting to heal in your life. Allow him to resurrect broken dreams. Allow him to resurrect things in your life that have been died off, but he can only do that when we begin to roll away the stones that man's put there in our life. This person has hurt me, rolled away that stone in front of me. This person has rejected me, put that stone in front of me. This person I hate, this person I'm bitter at. This things I got to roll some things out of my life and say, Jesus, only you can heal. I'm moving all obstacles, and I'm making myself available to you that your power can come. If I can just get to the Savior, he can heal me. If I can just touch the Savior, he can change me. See, the perspective is, what can I do to set it up where Jesus can do what he can do, only he can do? So I want to give you some practical things today, okay? I've been talking about it. My goal with today is not only to pump you up and you say, boy, yeah, he can raise Lazarus from the dead, man, yeah! But what are we going to do tomorrow when you get up tomorrow and you got to face that cycle? I want to give you some application, okay? Is that all right? If I give you some application, I want you to take this home, be able to know what to do tomorrow when you get up. How am I going to get past these bad cycles in my life? Number one, you got to acknowledge. First of all, it starts right here. You got to acknowledge there is a cycle. You got to acknowledge there is a bad cycle in your life. I can't conquer what I don't confront. I can't conquer what I don't confront. I can't address what I won't admit to. Someone asks you, is everything all right?
Ain't nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong, man. Leave me alone. Ain't nothing wrong.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing wrong with me. Leave me alone.
Ever met anybody like that? Yeah. They don't want to ask for help. They want to admit there's anything wrong with them. I've had people come in for counseling and want to get counsel. And they're like, I got this. This is happening. It's happening. And I'm like, you realize you're suffering from a big problem here, you know? You need to admit you got a serious problem here. So you got a problem that you need to address. Ma'am, you got a problem you need to address. I ain't got no problem. It's them, not me. I'm like, I can't help you, and I won't help you until you can get to the place and admit that you have a problem and you need help. See, it all starts there, that we acknowledge that I have some bad cycles in my life. And I got some things in my life that I need God to move in. I need some things in my life I need God to intervene in my life and set me free from. It starts right there. We can't conquer it if we don't confront it. And we can't address what we won't admit to. So what's my part? My part is acknowledging there's a cycle. And I must acknowledge what I've contributed to it. I've got to acknowledge that, you know what? There's some problems here and I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the problem, which brings us to the second point. Is we got to identify the contributors. Identify the contributors in our bad cycles. What are the things that lead us to contributing to these bad cycles in our life? Is it things of rejection that's happened in your life? Is it certain people that when you're around them that you get into this bad cycle? Is it certain people that influence you? I was free from this addiction until I started hanging around my old friends and then they got me back into that scene. I was faithful to my wife, so I started hanging around all my friends who wasn't faithful. Okay. So I was doing good. I was free from that addiction until I hang around my friends who were doing this. So we got to realize where we're at. I was doing good till I was around this person who was always speaking negative all the time. I was doing good till I was around this person and they were always bah, 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 bringing up those old wounds in my life. I got to identify the contributors. What and who is bringing on the stress in my life? What and who is bringing on the bad cycles in my life? What I can't control is other people. What's out of your control? Other people. You can't change her or you can't change him. If they would just change, I'll change. No, I've got to allow them. I can only control me. Write that down. I can only control me. This is who God expects you to change. Well, I'm praying, God, when God changes my husband, I'll change. No, 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 no. You change now. You can't control him, but you can control you. I'm gonna change. When God changes them, I'll change. No, you can change you now. Start working on that. Start working on yourself, saying, God, you do a work in me. God, you help me to roll away my stones so that I quit trying to worry about everybody else's stones. Help me to roll away my stones. I got to acknowledge and identify the contributors, realizing, all right, when I'm around this certain group of people, that I get slide in to this tendency of living this way. I get in bad cycles. I don't have these problems when I'm hanging around the right people, but I get around the wrong people, I'll fall into this bad cycle. I would say that probably half the people in this room who suffer with bad cycles, it's because you're always hanging around the wrong people. And when you separate from them, you do well. And when you reattach to them, boom, you're right back into that cycle. At what point do we wake up and say, enough's enough, I've got to break past this cycle and realize what's contributing to my bad cycles in my life? Jesus didn't come for you to live your life the same, but he came that you can be changed, full of joy, full of hope, full of peace. He didn't come for you to live your life as a doormat to somebody else. He didn't come that somebody else could hold you like a dog on a chain and yank you back emotionally every time you're around them. No, he's come to set you free. He didn't come to set you free from an addiction for you to go back and hang out with those same people with the same addiction. No, he called you to separate from that and to live a life of freedom. He's wanting to break. We got to identify what are the contributors in my life. I've got to change first. See, there's certain people you don't have to eliminate because you're thinking that Pastor Gene doesn't need to eliminate certain people. And I would say eliminate's a pretty hard word, right? If I give out the orders as a general to eliminate somebody, they're gonna kill them, right? And so I'm not telling you need to kill anybody. You don't need to eliminate anybody, but what you need to do is you need to evict a few people in your life. Eviction is a lot different than eliminate. Eviction says you can no longer live here any longer. You're no longer given permission to live in my life. You're no longer given permission to live in my circle. I've got to evict you out of my circle because I've got to get free from the influence of the bad cycles you're bringing me down. Oh, this is really where we live today. I'm just telling you exactly where we're at. I can tell you in my walk that at times I would suffer bad cycles in my life, and there's some people that I had to evict out of my circle so I could get free from that. Because when I was around them, I would get sucked right back into that thing. I would get right back into that bad habit. I would get right back into that bad cycle. I get right back into those bad attitudes. I get right back into a depressed spirit. I get right back into doubt and negativity. And so there's come times when I had to evict some people out of my circle. They're still my friends. I still love them from a distance, but I quit letting them get so close to me that they put me back into that cycle. Are you understanding what eviction means? We got to learn to do that. Because look at this statement here. I think you're going to like it. We got to learn to keep some people out of your circle so you can keep out of your cycle. Oh, that is good. Thank you, TJ. Let's say it one more time. Learn to keep some people out of your circle so you can keep out of your cycle. I mean, we need to get the spirit of Donald Trump all in ourselves and look at some people and say, you're fired. Sorry. I'm evicting you today. God bless you. See ya. I am no longer going to bring you into my circle where you can bring me down. I'm no longer going to bring you into my circle where you can hurt me. I'm no longer going to bring you into my circle. Why? Because I've got to break past the bad cycles in my life. And at this time, I can't have you there. Now, look, don't look at your mother-in-law, okay? That's not what I'm talking about today. Some of you are looking right now. I told you your mom was causing us problems. That's not what I'm talking about today. I have a great mother-in-law. Blessed to have a great mother-in-law. Are you awake, Mom? Okay, make sure she's awake. Okay, anyway, so we got that on tape just in case she doesn't believe me. All right. See, some people are like spiritual and emotional viruses. They attach themselves to you in your circle, and they're just going to suck the life right out of you, man. They pull all the joy. They pull all the encouragement out of you. You got to learn to identify these people. Which brings us to our third point, adjust my perspective. We got to learn to adjust my perspective. I can't control all things that stress me. I can only control my reaction. I can't control what happens to me. I can only control my response. So I got to adjust my perspective. Look what Philippians 4:8 says. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. What did Paul say? Fix your thoughts on what is true. Our mind is to stay on what is true, what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable. To think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He says, this is where you put your energy into. This is where we're called to put our energy into. This is this. Well, I don't know. You got to change your perspective. I think one of the best examples of this is when we saw the tornado come through here a couple of years ago, and how it tore the heart of Joplin out, and so many people lost homes and lost family members and lost friends. It was a tragedy day, but one thing that happened after that was the perspective change. What I didn't do when I was helping so many people or out talking to people, I didn't see anybody go, man, oh, my home, oh, it's gone. You know how long, Pastor, I worked to buy that home? And I just got approved at the bank like last year. No, you know what I found was, I am just so thankful to be alive. I'm so thankful to have my family. My car, it's always broken. Oh, I didn't get that. No, I'm just so thankful to be alive. See, their perspective changed. Even though they were going through much tragedy, their thinking was, it's not about that. I'm just thankful God had his hand on me. I'm just thankful I was able to come out alive. I'm just thankful we survived and we'll replace things. Things can be replaced, but this can't. And so I'm thankful that I'm here with my family. Our perspective changed, wasn't it? If we lost that house some other way, we'd have been like, oh, I can't believe it. But now we're like, I'm just glad to have my family. It's okay. It's all right. You see, as a Christian, our perspective has got to change. Our perspective has got to be, God's in control of my life, and no matter what I'm going through, that he is in control. I'm going to fix my mind on his things. I'm going to fix my mind on the pure things, on the honorable things, on the things his word says about me. I've got to change, which brings us to our next point, which is this. I've got to retrain my brain. I've got to retrain my brain. Romans 12:2 says it like this. Don't copy. Don't be a copycat. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a copycat. Come on, tell them. I said, don't be a copycat. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform. This is a powerful word. But let God transform you into a new person. How many want to be transformed? I want to be transformed. I want God to transform me. How? He transforms by changing the way we think. Now, you can go out and spend hundreds of dollars buying self-help books, audios. You can go to seminars, and they're going to teach you the same principle over and over again. You got to think successful. You got to think positive thoughts. Well, whoopity-doo-doo. The Bible's been saying that for thousands of years. We know it's to be true because the author of the Bible is the one who created our DNA. And he knows this. If we will retrain our brain, that things will happen, that we can break cycles in our life of depression. We can break cycles in our life of emotional distress. When I retrain my brain to say, you know what? I am going to allow God to change the way I think. I don't see myself as the victim. I see myself as a survivor. I don't see myself as the one who's being abused, but I see myself as one God has healed. I don't see myself as one who's had to walk through hardships, but I see myself as one whose God has brought out. It's changing our brain and saying, I got to rethink. I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind through his word. When I understand what his word says about me, when I understand what his word says I am. Well, Pastor, I just got to tell you, you don't know my family. I come from a long line of people who just worry all the time. My mama worried, her mama worried, and I'm just a worrier. I can't help it. I just who I am. Well, let me tell you the good news about the cycle breaker. That Jesus came to break the cycles, and he said, those who are in Christ, old things, what? Are passed away. And all things become new. Are you telling me I can break past bad cycles? Yes, you can. Well, I got this emotion. I don't care. Jesus came to break your bad cycles. He came to give you DNA as sons and daughters of the King. It's time for you to break it and say, you know what? I have the power in Jesus' name to break through this addiction, to break through this part of my life. He's come to set me free. And I got to retrain my thinking and think, you know what? No, I got to think differently. I don't think, oh, that's the way it's always going to be. No, in Jesus' name, it's going to change. In Jesus' name, it will get better. In Jesus' name, ain't nothing going to break in my stride. Ain't nothing going to slow me down. I am going forward in Jesus. Come on now. It's retraining our brain, how we think, how we respond. Otherwise, you're going to be back at the same thing over and over and over again. No, I deserve better. I expect better. I don't have to go with every guy that comes along and winks his eye at me and shows me attention. No, I'm a child of the King. I'm a princess of the Most High. I am worthy, and I'm waiting for my prince. And until he shows up, he ain't getting nothing from me. I'm going to hold out and wait for God's best in my life instead of giving it up for free to every jerk that comes around. Come on, ladies, I'm preaching it. Come on, guys. You need to quit looking to jobs and promotion for success and support and realize that God is calling you to live better than that. Your support doesn't come from your paycheck. Your support comes from God. My security is not from my title. My security is from who God says I am. I can achieve to win the world. But no, God has come to break cycles in my life where I don't have to try to prove myself to a father who didn't love me. I don't have to try to prove myself to people who doubted me. No, I just prove myself knowing God has already forgiven me. God has already loved me. He's loved me so much he can't love me anymore, and he'll never love me any less than he does right now. Boy, that's changing the way I think. He can never love me any more than he loves me at this moment. And he'll never love me any less. And he does this moment. Changes the way I think. It sets me free. Are you ready to break some bad cycles in your life? We're going to retrain. Retrain the way we think. It's time for us to quit going around. Same mountain. Same mountain. Same mountain. I'm going to ask the magicians to come this morning. We're going to close it out. Go ahead and bow your heads this morning where you're at. I want to ask you the question. Some of you here today said, Pastor, you're talking really... talking really plain and bold today. That's all right. Because I'm speaking to some people here today that need to hear exactly what I'm saying. I want you to know in this church there is love, forgiveness. This church is full of imperfect people who have so many people in this room have blown it time and time again. But we're just saved by the grace of God. God has saved us because we've given our life to Him. And I'm here to tell you today that God has got a higher calling in your life. He's got a greater destiny than you're allowing. And the first part of that destiny is the first thing you got to do is to say, Jesus, I need you. I confess you as Lord of my life. I want to accept you as Lord of my life. If you're here today, nobody's looking around but me. Everybody's bowing their heads. And say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I won't embarrass you. Don't worry. But I want you just to raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it right now. That's me, Pastor. Let's say this prayer together. If you raise your hand, I want you to repeat it after me. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you as well. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of my heart today. All of my sin. All of my dreams. Everything I give to you. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give Him a hand. It's a big thing. We're excited. I'm going to invite everybody else to stand on your feet this morning. We're going to close out with this song that simply says, I give myself away. Let's make it a personal call. Say, God, I'm learning to give myself to you. I'm learning to give my mind to you, my thoughts to you, my heart to you, my will, my emotions, all surrender to you. Come on, let's make it personal.
Give myself away. give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me.
My life is not my own.
Father, right now, I pray for every person in this room today. That God, you have come to break the bad cycles in our life. I thank you, Father, you are challenging us, God, to change some people in our circle. You challenge us to change some things in our circle so that we can get out of our cycle. God, I thank you that you are changing. You are the cycle breaker. God, I thank you that you're allowing us to have a higher standard for ourselves. You're allowing us to see ourselves the way you see us, as children of the Most High King. Father, I thank you today for your love, your grace, your mercy for all of us here. So much love that you've given us, Father. We celebrate with so many people getting publicly baptized today. People making hearts to say, this is for you. God, we thank you today. We celebrate. And for you, we give all honor and glory. One more time, put your hands together. Can't we bless the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah. Now listen to me. I want you to have a great and safe holiday. Enjoy your time with your friends and your family. God bless you. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you.